Hey everybody, I just want to let you know that the entries for this year's Sleepwire Pro-Am and Listener Leagues are now available. Coming back for the fifth season, we once again have a great lineup of pros, including Jake Seeley, Matt Harmon, Mitch Renz, Pat Fitzmorris, Marcus Grant, Justin Boone, the Sleeper app, and so much more. We have so many options for you to play with the pros and us this season. A one-time $50 donation to our Patreon page will get you into the Pro-Am. A one-time donation of $30 gets you into a listener league with us, and a one-time $75 donation gets you into both the Pro-Am and a listener league. Visit patreon.com/sleeperwire to make your donation, and then screenshot your confirmation email and send it to sleeperwire@gmail.com, and we'll make sure to get you on the list. Make sure to include your name and your sleeper username in the email. Once again, that's patreon.com/sleeperwire and send it to sleeperwire@gmail.com.
What's up, sleepers? What's going on? Another episode back. Welcome, guys. We got Dirty Jobs back at it. What's up, man? You've been gone for quite some time. Welcome back to
the
show.
Not much, man. Yeah, thanks, man. It's good to finally be back. I was transitioning, getting my ass out of Wyoming finally. So hashtag get Mike out of Wyoming has finally been achieved.
It worked.
So back. It finally worked. Yes, hashtags can do damage, folks. So get out there and hashtag your dreams.
Go hashtag it up, man. Hashtag it up. And of course, you guys are listening to the familiar voice, the Prophet Who's here. I've got another lovely guest here. It's my main man from my fam, the Fantasy Fam. Anthony, what's up, man? It's great to have you. It's great to have you a part of the network. We hung out draft night out.
Yeah, excited to be here. Thanks for having me on, man.
For sure, man. We're going to get into it. We got some news. If you didn't listen to the last Draft Night Out show, go ahead and do that. It was a good time. Mike, you missed it. Anthony, you didn't. Rob, sorry. Next year. Yeah, you guys can go ahead and listen to that episode. Go listen to the Fantasy Fam episode as well. They covered Draft Night Out as well. SportsCon. Great time. Well, yeah, we got some news. We're going to jump right into it. Melvin Gordon, what are you doing to us? We've had some drafts already in season. You're on some of our teams. And now it's looking like it's a great possibility that you may not be there for our fantasy teams. You may not be there. You're holding out. It seems like it's an indefinite situation. There's not going to be a conclusion, it doesn't seem. Help us out. I'm going to throw it to my man, Dirty Jobs, first. What's going to go down? I mean, what are you doing? Are you still taking Melvin Gordon in the first round? If he's not, he's going to fall, right?
I'm starting to see a trend here. Like, I want to know why NFL commissioners and things like that are so anti-paying running backs and giving them contracts. I mean, you'll give a wide receiver a contract, like, or Leonard Fournette has a contract. For instance, like they have no problem giving him a contract when he's barely even on the field, like what, 2-3 games a year. And then you got Melvin Gordon, who's just this beast of a running back and a beast of a system, fits right in with everything over there. And you're busting his balls. Like, get this guy his money so he can go out there and play football. I don't understand why this just keeps happening. It's going to be Le'Veon Bell all over again You're going to see players that are going to say, I'm not going to go hurt my body for 1 year's worth of money. You know, if I get injured and I lose everything on this 1 year, that's everything. You're done. You don't have anything to go on. At least if you have that contract to secure it for a few years, make that money and hopefully get bounced back, or you can maybe live comfortably knowing that you're never going to play football again.
And it does seem like Lev did give these young backs the blueprint to at least a success of getting a long-term deal, which I think is what every football player wants, right? They want guaranteed money. They don't want a one-year deal where they're making Uber dollars. Look, they can get this in endorsement deals. They're going to make it up somewhere. Lev still got his money, right? He still got paid. I'm going to throw it to you next, Anthony. What are the concerns here? Are we thinking that we can draft him in the first round? Or are you hands off at this point? it's some drafts are going down right now.
I don't want that headache personally. I'm a strong believer of staying away from anything off field issues, stuff like that. It's just, you're going to have to worry then, because then you're going to have to figure out how to draft later on. You know, if he doesn't play, you're screwed. So the difference between him and Bell, though, is that he's still under contract. Right. If he doesn't play, my man's going to start accruing, you know, fines and whatnot, which is not good. Now, another interesting thing that I think is pretty, it's very interesting, obviously, but he didn't play four games last year. They won all four of those games. So, you know what I mean? I mean, clearly there's, I don't know. I think the Chargers, honestly, I really actually do not see them re-signing him.
Well,
I hate to say that, but that's.
Well, I think you're heading in the right direction. And if we look to the past, I mean, they didn't give Ryan Matthews money. They didn't give LaDainian Tomlinson money. They don't pay their backs. You know, we're going to touch Ezekiel Elliott next. But yeah, it doesn't seem like either one of these towns pay their backs. And yeah, you're going to pay your wide receiver. Why? They got longer longevity. You know, they seem to be healthier. These guys take a pounding. You know, you give a guy 300 touches every season.
He wants his money, exactly.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen where these guys are going to be healthy. They need to cash in now. And to be honest, I'm good for Bell and good for Gordon to kind of follow what these other guys did. Look, Gurley got money. He's an injury. He's a problem. And again, this is one of the reasons why I guess they should not give Gordon money. Because, look, yeah, he got his money, and now there's a worry. They just brought in a third rounder. Darrell Henderson, guy at SportsCon, took some photos. Nice guy. You know, like, he's in there to take his job, and he's getting paid a rookie contract, but they still got paid him. David Johnson got paid. Missed the season, got paid still. So for these guys to go out there and stick to their guns, especially amid, a new collective bargaining agreement going on, hey, you guys got to go out there and get your money. I understand this wholeheartedly. I would do the same. Especially if I'm a star and I have endorsement deals, I think I'm going to be just fine. Anthony was dead on, though. I mean, it's a lot different. I mean, this guy is going to have to hold out, miss games. And on top of that, they're going to franchise tag him even if he does miss the season.
Exactly.
So it's way different. I mean, Lev got franchise tagged twice. And I think the only reason why they didn't tag him again is because of that transition tag where they were going to have to pay him that quarterback fee. And that's just not something they were willing to do, even though they did think about it just to trade him, if anything. So, yeah, I think it's a huge blueprint for Lev Bell. We're going to move on to Ezekiel Elliott. Same thing, seems. Not same eminence, doesn't feel the same, but to me it's just as scary. No one is talking about it like it's just as scary, but it's scarier to me because Ezekiel Elliott, a little bit of a head case, sorry, Cowboy fans, but
he definitely is
a little bit of a head case. And now he's asking for why would you pay this man? He gets into trouble, and he's putting a ton of work on himself. Cooper's probably going to get paid. Dak's probably going to get paid. Probably not going to be Zeke. They just brought in his backup,
Tony Pollard. You know, the other running back from Memphis who played with Darrell Henderson, but. I am a Cowboys fan too, and it's very interesting that you actually bring up Zeke, because I'll bring up our man Run DMC, Darren McFadden. Right. When he was on that team with that offensive line, he ran for over 1,000 yards.
He was a beast.
And he was kind of not really washed up, but so obviously you can see that the system. So if they don't re-sign Zeke, I'm not going to be entirely upset. It's just, it's a lot of money. It really is a lot of money where you can – I think I'm not saying Tony Pollard is Zeke. We don't know. You know what I mean? And we probably won't find out if they don't re-sign him.
I mean, but in that.
Because Tony Pollard is.
Right. Tony Pollard is. I think Tony Pollard, when you think of him, he's kind of a different back. He's more of a utility back. He's going to catch passes. Mm-hmm. I think they kind of brought him in to possibly replace Zeke at some point. I mean, they brought in two backs. They brought in Mike Weber as well. Yeah. Kind of scary, but. Again, I don't see many people talking about this. I wanted to bring this up because I feel like it's just the same level of importance of are we worried about Zeke? It doesn't seem like it. I had to move both of these guys down on my draft board. Sorry, not draft board, my rankings, which I just posted today on Sleeper. They should be on Fantasy Pros at some point later in the season. You guys see that. But yeah, they worry me that I have to drop them just because I can't take a first rounder. This is often, look, if you're listening to the first time you listen to me, I often tell you trade out of the first round. If you could get a second and third rounder for you trade away your first and you get like a sixth or something, like you trade away your first and then like a sixth rounder or something and get like a second and third, you got 2 seconds and two thirds, do that. Because first rounders bust very often. If it's not a wide receiver or it's not Saquon, which Saquon could bust too, just off of just getting injured. Any back can bust.
Or Kamara or CMC, I guess.
Exactly. It all can happen. It's a lot of value you're investing in that first round pick. I don't know. It's a scary situation. What are your thoughts, Mike?
You know, I was just thinking about that. Like with the Melvin Gordon talk, you know, I mean, like this is a first rounder
yeah.
that you're gambling and possibly missing out on. And I mean, there's so many, yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, there's so many other players that you can just guarantee are going to go out there and do damage. I mean, barring injury, because injuries happen, right? But yeah, like CMC is a great one. Like he's going to go out there. He's probably going to have almost a repeat of maybe even a bigger year this year, just because the opportunity is going to be there, especially with Cam kind of coming back on that shoulder a little bit. He's going to be throwing short. He's going to be relying on CMC. So if he can stay on the field, he's going to be massive, you know? So I feel like I'd rather have him over Zeke right now. But I feel like, I don't know. I just feel like Ezekiel Elliott's one of those talents that you should pay for. I feel like he's the guy that's really a good running back. Like where I always talk kind of about Le'Veon Bell and how he's going to go to New York. And I really feel like he might falter with that system with his running style. You know, that pause.
Right, that patience. Yeah, I could see it.
In New York, you're going to find a linebacker in your face pretty damn quick, you know, because they don't have the guys that can really stop. They have made some moves. They've shored up that offensive line. So there is some to be seen there. Well, you know, they could have already addressed this problem pretty well. But so I don't know. I feel like Ezekiel Elliott's one of those guys that actually has that talent that can take that to any other team, where I feel like Le'Veon Bell was more of a product of the Pittsburgh offensive line, because Pittsburgh and Dallas have pretty comparable offensive lines. You know, the type of line you can drive a semi truck through. You can throw I can probably get a 1,200 yard season out of the deal, you know?
And I'm going to throw this back to Anthony, just because, yeah, this is a tough topic to move on from, because I think this deserves a whole show. And I think you go out there and listen to other podcasters, they're talking about the same stuff, and you combine it, probably get a whole show worth. But this is a serious question, and I don't think people are looking at Zeke enough, because we're more looking at what Melvin Gordon is saying. But look, these guys were at SportsCon. I mean, I think they definitely had a conversation.
It's ironic. They might be hand in hand. Coincidence?
Maybe a hand in hand thing. Oh. Hey, let's do this together. Let's, you know, let's turn the corporate world on his ears, you know, like on his heels. Let's do something different. Obviously not different, but Bell's given the blueprint, but this is certainly something to worry about and something we got to keep our eyes on. But we got to move on. We're going to move on to Michael Thomas. He's asking for $20 million. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of quiche. It's a lot of cash. Oh, man. $20 million. He's probably going to get paid, though, right? I mean, who else are you paying? He's the focal point of this offense.
I would pay him.
You pay him, right? I mean,
the guy's a stud. I think he leads the league in receptions for the past, like, three seasons. Yeah. Since he's coming as a rookie, the guy – it was unreal what he was doing the first like couple weeks of the season last year. I mean, the guy had like 35 catches through the first two games. That's some people don't even get that in the whole season.
Right.
It's insane. So we're firm believe Michael Thomas is really nothing to report there. He's going to get paid. Mike, you got anything to say
here? He better get paid.
You know how I feel about Michael Thomas.
I do. I do actually.
In one single league in the whole entire fantasy career, because I hate owning him.
Right.
He's fantastic for 2 weeks, and then he's just dead for seven, you know, and then he comes back for three big games, and then he's gone for the rest of the year. He's just I don't like New Orleans wide receivers. They're too unreliable to me. But this guy is a monster. I mean, he's a target monster. He can get up there, grab it. He's definitely a $20 million receiver. He definitely earns that. He definitely deserves that money. And I'm not even a big fan of his, like fantasy-wise, but I'm a big fan of his football-wise.
But we think he's going to get paid. There's probably no controversy there, at least at this point. We're still drafting him as a first round. Even though all of this going on, it's a lot of scary stuff going on, all these guys holding out, we're not too concerned about Michael Thomas at this point, are we?
Michael Thomas, John Elway will give you $20 million. Just saying. Come to Denver. Go be Flacco's favorite target. Oh yeah. Never mind.
That'll work out beautifully. Mike, he's turning. You guys can't see him in the camera, but he's turning nice and pink over here. He's blushing over here for Michael Thomas. Amari Cooper, he's in no rush for no new deal. Probably should be though, right? I mean, we were just talking about if Zeke gets a deal, that's gonna kind of hurt Amari Cooper, right? I think if one of these guys gets a big deal, that leaves the other one out because they have to pay Dak, right? I mean, they can't let Dak go. Do they let Dak go? I mean, after he succeeded over Tony Romo, I mean, Romo was supposed to start, and Dak said, "Nah, man, I got this. Like, take your seat. You know, it's my town now." They moved on with him. They got to pay Dak, right? I mean, he's the face of the franchise.
He's huge. Yep, he's the franchise.
That was the only preseason game I watched that season when Romo went down. I was sitting on my balcony and I had the TV like facing outside and I was like, Romo just went down, and then insert Dak, and I was like, all right. Then they go first place and I was like, all right. But no, you have to pay Dak. I think that honestly, I feel like you have to pay Dak and I feel like you have to pay Amari.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
It's tough to get a good receiver. I mean, Amari's I don't know yet. But we've seen what he can do with Derek Carr. Right. I'm not saying Derek Carr is terrible, but he's not great. But I think that this year could be a good season to see what happens with the Cowboys offense because of Kellen Moore. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm hoping the Cowboys offense, I mean, it's vanilla. It's very, right. It's very straightforward. You know exactly what you're getting. It's too boring, and they're not going to win with a boring offense.
The quarterback
to be unpredictable. Well, but Kellen Moore pulls some plays from Boise State. I'm hoping he pulls, you know what I mean? Some of those like crazy trick plays and stuff. They just got Randall Cobb. I like that. Witten's back. I'm not saying that's a big, but just his presence on the field, you know? So I would pay Amari and Dak out of those three if I had to choose. And that's
looks like
that's what I think.
Sorry, Crop Top. Looks like you're going to be the odd man out. And we're going to move on to Delanie Walker. Good news there. No active puff. Puff.
Wow.
Is that puff? No active
puff. Delanie Walker.
But for Janu, puff. Active puff.
But isn't he hurt too, Janu? Like if he starts the season, he's going to be out for like the first like 6 weeks.
Well,
right?
He's on the active puff. So there's a possibility that, again, so there was news today that Janu was on the PUP. DeAndre Hopkins is on the PUP. While we're spinning out news and PUP list news. Also, Sony Michel, another one on the PUP. Again, this is the active PUP list. These guys can be activated at any time.
True.
It's not that much of a surprise since he's already talking Janu. He already missed a bunch of off-season activities. He's still dealing with that MCL tear from week 14. He's 24 years old, though. He's going to bounce right back. I think this is not much of a scare. If anything, this is value to you. You can grab Janu for free. You were already able to grab him for free. I think he's a nice stash, even though Delanie Walker, yeah, he is not going to be starting on the PUP. But the guy, I won't call him old because tight ends, they seem to play better as they get older. And he's 34 years old. Maybe he's in the prime of his life. We don't know, right? I mean, he seems to be Mariota's favorite target. But all I'm saying is in Dynasty, I don't know. It's probably a nosedive on Janu owners, but I like it. I like it a lot. I think you go out there and grab Janu. What about you guys?
This is kind of starting to be, you know, like we're starting to run into an injury history with Delanie Walker. Like that's what I worry about. So I think I'd be comfortable grabbing Janu in like week 3, week 4, something like that off the waivers, because you know he's going to be sitting there. And that'll be right about the time Delanie Walker gets injured anyways. So
this is true.
I feel like everybody forgot about Janu. Honestly, I completely forgot about him. I've done two dynasties already, and I didn't even.
I bet he's like, available.
Oh, he totally is. He has to. I mean, what, you know what I mean? Why wouldn't he be? Because he had such a pretty bad injury at the end of, you know, last season that it just.
He looked good towards the end of the season as well.
Exactly. He looked really good when he was out there. I think they definitely wanted to use him more. I don't know though. Tennessee is an anomaly. I still can't figure out that offense.
Yeah.
That offense should be so much better than they are, and they just suck. They just cannot seem to put everything together. They got the weapons, they've got the line, they've got everything they need to be successful, and they just suck.
Well, we're still waiting for that smash mouth exotic offense, right? I mean, we're still hanging on to quotes from seasons ago, new coordinators and everything. But yeah,
their defense is off the hook though. Like that's one of the sneaky defenses this year to grab. I think that Titans defense.
I didn't think about that. But yeah, I mean, there are one that I think definitely goes underrated. They are something to watch. So yeah, it's a nice sleeper fantasy defensive team for you guys that are still playing DSTs. I know as you know, you play in so many leagues, people want no kickers, no defenses, but hey, there you go, sleeper white there, right there. We're going to move on. The Jets just finalized a deal with former Texans Ryan Griffin. Seems like it's a tight end show at this point. We're going to discuss some more tight ends later. Ryan Griffin, he was a decent guy on the Texans. He's had some drunken history issues. Drunken History is a funny show, if I don't know if you guys watch that. But yeah, he's got some drunken history issues. He's some depth. Herndon is suspended. So chances he runs away with his job at all? Quick to you, Anthony?
Could. I mean, he's got probably the most experience out of everyone else that's on the team. But I don't even think the Jets are probably even going to use a tight end for the first 4 weeks. Like, they'll be out there for blocking. That's
right.
Mike, your thoughts on the tight end before we move on? This is kind of like meh news, but you know, while we're on tight ends,
still news.
Yeah, it's still meh news.
It's still meh news. Nothing. So we're gonna move on then, I guess. Patriots, man, Patriots walking around. Julian Edelman walking around with the glove on his hand or something like that. He's somebody you got to watch for. Are we too worried about Julian Edelman? He seems like he's gonna be the whole focal point of this offense, him and James White, after news Sony Michel possibly could be on the men's and won't be ready. They're saying he should be ready by week one, but I think a lot of people are going to be hands off of Sony Michel now. A lot of people are going to be, you know, James White's going to be flying on people's draft boards. So James White, Julian Edelman, these are the focal points. Are we worried about Julian Edelman? Or are we worried about this Pats offense at all? I know we don't like him much, but we have to discuss him.
Right? I feel like that comes with it, though. You know, like Julian Edelman, I don't think you're going to get a full 16 games from him. I mean,
at this point,
when was the last time we did? You know, it's a long time. So I feel like, you know, you're going to get a couple missed games from him. It's going to happen. But when he's out there, Tom Brady's throwing the ball at least like 10 to 12, 13 times to him every single game. So that's the risk that you take, you know, drafting Julian Edelman.
Yeah, and you know what you're getting with him. I'm with you there. I mean, you know he's probably going to miss a few games because the dude's a stud. I mean, he goes out there, throws it all on the field. I hate the Patriots. I've just got to throw that in there real quick just in case
people are
out there thinking when I said Julian Edelman is good.
Only New England likes him.
Yeah.
That's the only place that does like him. He's talented, but I hate the guy. I bet me and him would fight if we saw him.
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love it.
NFL shape, and I'm a freaking, you know,
speaking of guys asshole we hate. I don't know how much we touched on this during the last show. Tariq Hill, surprise, surprise.
I don't hate Tariq Hill.
No games missed. I think we touched it slightly on the last topic. We won't touch it too much. It's been discussed far, 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 far. Right. So
can I just throw my two cents?
Yes, you can. That's why I want to have you and Anthony on. I definitely want to get your two cents.
Yeah, because so with Tyreek Hill, now, granted, that is a pretty damning video or audio recording, right? Like, yeah, but I mean, it's audio. You can do a lot of shit with audio.
Right.
You can do a lot of things that aren't anybody. And how easy is it to target these people especially if they have, like, say, a past in something like this. So, I mean, the cops don't feel like there's a need to arrest him. The NFL doesn't feel like there's a need to suspend him. I feel like it might be go-ahead time to say he might be innocent. You know, he might not be guilty of this. And I don't know. So I don't really hate the guy. If he did it, I hope he fries. I hope he goes down, and I hope he goes down hard, because that's awful. If you can do that to a kid, I don't ever want to see your face in the NFL again. But if you didn't do it and you're just getting caught up because, you know, A, you have a past, and B, she's unhappy with how things are right now, because we all know, like, it does happen in
relationships. Yeah, 100%. We know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's women, it's men, it's right. Both, you know? I mean, it's not just women.
Right, we're not pointing fingers, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying, like, she's a bad person, but if she's doing this nefariously, then she is a bad person. I feel like she should get charged. I mean, I feel like somebody should come out of this with some charges here.
Well, and I think that was NFL's decision, because there is a possibility, and I don't know if a lot of people were just not paying attention to this, but there is a great possibility that she does get charged.
Good.
And that is not out of the realm of possibilities. So the NFL is not, you know, investigating. They're not charging him, where they're not going to suspend him for anything, but it still is being investigated, and both parents are still the kid could be in a home or something like that. But from what I understand, the kid is primarily with the mom, and this is not the first time the mom has possibly laid hands on the kid and also admitted to it. Tariq has not admitted to anything, and I think that's kind of the bigger deal at this point. He's kind of sticking to his guns.
Yeah, throw this scenario out there, right? Like, we have kids, right? Like, yep. Most of us here have kids. And she said, well, I lied to the police at first because I was worried about his contract and how and his money and everything like that. Like, you screw with my kids, I don't even think about money. There's very few things I'm thinking about except for destroying you, you know, like the person who hurt my child. And so that argument really doesn't hold up for me. It just doesn't seem like it makes sense in my brain, I guess. Well, I was just trying to protect him and his contract. Like, when your kid's in jeopardy and you're worried about money, you're worried about this guy's future, you got to worry about you and your kid and get them out of danger. You know, if there's a real dangerous scenario happening here, get him out, get this person arrested, get him help. You know, if he can't keep his hands off a small child, he needs some help or some jail time or something, you know. And like, to sit there and hold back on that and not call the police, that's the thing that really bothers me about the whole thing. Like, I'm like, that just doesn't make sense to my brain.
Anthony?
My two cents about this whole thing is that if you drafted him in like any round later than the second, it paid dividends. I'm not even going to comment on the whole situation.
I mean, we're here for fans.
We have no idea, you know, what went on, and it is what it is. My job is to look at fantasy. Now he's right back into the first round.
There we go. That's all I know, first round. That's what I wanted to hear. Mike, where are you taking him?
Tyreek is a top four. I mean, he could finish the season as the number one wide receiver. Yep. I mean, with his ability. So I know some people, I think in the draft night out, he went in like the sixth round.
Yeah, the latest one. Yeah, I think the latest one I saw him go was the sixth.
There's a team. The guy's got, I forget who it was. He's got Michael Thomas, Tyreek Hill, and I forget who else. It's just, but his three receivers, he literally has three receivers in the top five.
Yeah,
that's just insane.
That's my whole thing on it.
Yeah, that's what you want. I mean, we're playing fantasy. We obviously can speculate. We can talk on who he is as a person. I don't know Tariq Hill. I mean, we've heard some bad things. It's still not enough for me to just place complete judgment on a person, especially the fact that the guy's a kid, right? He's a kid. He's what, 23 years old? That's a kid to me. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, you're still making mistakes and you're learning from them. I'm definitely not one to throw stones at somebody to kill the guy. You know what I mean? Hopefully he learns from whatever mistakes he did, or even just being around people, whether it's just being around bad company, because it could have just been that. Like this girl, who knows? It could have just been her the whole time. We're going to move on, though. We got a bunch of tight ends to discuss. We're going to get into the tight end discussion. Our top 12 tight ends. I'm going to kick it off with Dirty Jobs. Who you got at number one?
To me,
surprises.
The man has proved himself year after year. No surprises here. Okay. Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce for me is number one. I just don't see him stepping down off the production that he's had. I don't see any kind of a regression there. I see consistent, steady Eddie, Travis Kelce.
Anthony?
Agreed.
I have Travis Kelce number one as well. I think a lot of it, our rankings were baked in that Tyreek Hill's not going to miss, right? So I might have to revisit some of my rankings just off of projections. And I don't necessarily believe in projections 100%, but I have to project somewhat of what a player is going to do. And then I kind of use my gut, profit it out, and then place them arbitrarily, I guess, as so. Travis Kelce, number one overall, across the board. Number two, Mike, who you got?
I got George Kittle. I have him actually having another decent season. I think it's his athletic ability that really draws me into him. I think he can just still pull off that yard after catch. I have a lot of faith in that system. I really like Shanahan-led offenses. So it's Kittle for me.
George Kittle, he is a beast. Straight up beast. I mean, I don't know if you guys just seen that video that was just posted out of him just like running and just – he was just – I don't know what he was doing. He was just, the video was eye-popping, though. He's such a beast. And, yes, the yards after catch is just insane. I mean, you just can't stop that guy. He's pretty much up there as far as I would say Vance McDonald. I'd definitely like to see Vance McDonald get the ball a lot more. He just he puts that stiff arm out there and he puts guys in their graves. We were talking about this in the last show.
That stiff arm still makes me happy.
Yeah. I do not have George Kittle as number two, primarily because most of his production, at least from what I saw, was done with the backup quarterback. Now, I'd like to see Jimmy Garoppolo feature George Kittle. I don't know if I saw that from the short sample that we did see. I think a lot of people look at Tom Brady, Gronk, and they look at system and they say, okay, Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle, Gronk. And I don't know if I buy into that just yet. I like George Kittle a lot, but I don't know if I'm ready to just, I guess, again, even though we're mostly arbitrarily putting these guys here, I don't know if I'm ready to put him there. So I've got Zach Ertz there, and even though he's got a ton of mouths, I don't want to say ton, they've added DeSean Jackson, but I think a lot of people are worried about Dallas Goedert. But Zach Ertz, man, he's just a target hog. He's a beast. I mean, and he's the thing I like about football players, right, is when they go into something and they put a little chip on their shoulder. Zach Ertz has heard George Kittle is the best tight end. He's heard that. He's heard Travis Kelce is the best tight end. Zach Ertz has caught more passes from both of those guys. Like, he's in a PPR, he's just a beast. So he's my number two. George Kittle, I love you. I just need to see more from you. Who do you got at number three, Dirty?
Well, Anthony, who did you have at number two?
I had George Kittle
as well.
Oh, you have Kittle, right?
Yeah.
Okay. My number three is, now we're probably going to start getting into some
right,
variants.
Right.
I have Austin Hooper. I feel like he's just becoming more of a part of that offense, getting more and more involved. And I really think, I mean, you've got Julio Calvin Ridley out there now, so he's going to be able to just get some red zone targets. So I really feel like Hooper has a big season.
I like it. Don't know about three, but I like the boldness of it. I like that it's different. I like that people are probably cursing at you right now listening to the podcast. Like, you don't know what the But hey, you know, all of our teams look amazing after the draft, you know, and when the season starts, that's when we see what's what, who's who. Austin Hooper did have a great end of the season. He had
71 catches last year.
Look at that. I mean, quietly, the number six tight end, quietly. I mean, granted, quietly means he was 40 points away from the tight end five. But still, you know, that's about an average of, what, 2 points or so. I'm not Professor Chris. I'm not the best math professor, so if somebody wants to correct me on that.
he's ranked so late. I mean, I was looking on Fantasy Pros, and he's going in like the ninth round, which is like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. He's going to finish top five. He is.
I mean, I have him. We'll get to where I have him. So where do you have your – I love the pick, though, Dirty, and that's going to give some people a lot to discuss. So we'll see what Anthony's pick is and see if
I have Ertz at number three.
Okay.
I'm obviously this is still early, like the whole Dallas Goedert, you know, and like adding DeSean Jackson back. Zach Ertz, like you said, I mean, the guy's he's a target machine. He had, what, over 100 catches last year? He led the tight ends, I think. So as of now, I have him number three. We'll see how that, you know, progresses. If maybe they'll try to, you know, emphasize Dallas Goedert a little bit more, but I still like him at number three, even though I'm a Cowboys fan.
And I have third, a little bit of a head scratcher, not as much as Mike's, but Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry, I love Hunter Henry. I've got him ahead of George Kittle. I've got him ahead of O.J. Howard, Evan Engram, Austin Hooper. Yeah, I'm a big, 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 big fan of Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry is going to step in and he's just going to step in where he left off. There's a lot of vacated targets there. There's a lot of red zone looks that they're going to continue to utilize him on. And, yeah, I just think that Hunter Henry in that offense, especially if there's no Melvin Gordon, wow, he's going to feast. He's going to feast. And you can get him like in a sixth round right now. Love that value, especially for a guy that I'm valuing that could go as high as I actually had him second last year before the injury. So I'm a little down on him this year. I have him at number four. So slightly down on him, slightly. Who do you have at number four? Sorry, at number three. Who do you have at number four, Mike?
That's where I have Zach Ertz.
That's where you have Zach Ertz. Is my number
four. I just feel like he has a slight regression from last year. He's amazing. He's a great football player. But really, the addition of DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey is still very involved in that offense. And Dallas Goedert really is. He's such a talent that I feel like he's going to get the attention. And, I mean, that attention's got to draw from somewhere, and I really feel like that draws from Zach Ertz.
I dig it. I got Austin Hooper at number four.
So you guys are Hooper buds, man. You guys are loving some Austin Hooper.
You're right there. That's
I love Atlanta offense
way too
much. And if you listen to our podcast, it's insane, the man crush. Well, one, I love Julio and Matt Ryan. They're playing 13 out of 16 games at a dome this season.
Yeah, that's just sweet.
That's all I need to say. That's just sweet. I mean, Matt Ryan is a machine in a dome.
Yeah, that's just special. And who do you have? Oh wait, I didn't give you my four. So my four is Kittle. I do believe in Kittle, so I slightly down on him. They do have a very easy schedule, so I do think that he takes advantage of that. But again, yeah, I feel like, you know, arbitrary is the word of the discussion today, especially when you're doing rankings. It's early into the offseason. We haven't seen anything aside from last season, right? There's a lot of things to change. But, yeah, I do want to see more from the connection from Jimmy Garoppolo and George Kittle. So, yeah, I just pleased him here based off of his athleticism, based off of his what he could possibly do. It felt like a good number. I can't really place him higher, even though I guess you can argue Hunter Henry, what is he shown as much. More of a gut thing there. So I'm very high on Hunter Henry on a gut feeling. George Kittle, I want to see it more. But, hey, you're still in my top five. You're four. At number five, where are you coming in at with this, Mike? Who's your number five guy?
Eric Ebron. Okay. I think Eric Ebron has an explosive season with Andrew Luck. I mean, that's just – it's too good of an offense to ignore.
Mine is Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry. So we're not too far on any of our guys. We're going over a lot of the same talking points. I believe we kind of agree on the same ideas. What are Hunter Henry? So Hunter Henry, you're believing that Hunter Henry could be a top five guy. Any thoughts aside from mine, or do you have anything else to?
I mean, the guy had 8 touchdowns his rookie season. Right. Phillip Rivers was throwing to him all the time towards the end zone. I think he really missed him last season.
For sure.
Mike Williams, the emergence of Mike Williams, but I think that helps Hunter Henry because now it's like, oh, Mike Williams is going to be on the outside. Let's go cover him a little bit. Oh, crap, we forgot about Hunter Henry.
Beast.
So there he is right across the middle, but that's why he's not my number five.
Number five, we're going to go on to number six. O.J. Howard is my number six guy. Did everyone get their five? They did, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
O.J. Howard. O.J. Howard. Man, if he can step in, and my only thing with O.J. Howard, I kind of want to place him lower, but he's such a talent. He's such a beast. My only thing is Cameron Brate. Cameron Brate and Jameis Winston, they do have something there. They got some bromance. They got something that's just kind of hard to turn away. But they do like they do like O.J. Howard quite a bit. And I don't know. I think once you get into this 5 to 12 range, you're kind of just looking for upside here, right? You're looking for a guy that's going to score touchdowns. Of course, if you're in a PPR, you're looking for a guy that's going to get a lot of receptions as well. And O.J. Howard, I mean, with no Adam Humphries, no DeSean Jackson, I think he easily steps into that number three role in the offense. They don't really have the best pass-catching backs. So, I think O.J. Howard, Chris Godwin, and obviously Mike Evans are all going to feast this year. He's my number five. Oh, yeah, Mike. Six, sorry.
My number six is Hunter Henry. And, I mean, it's just it's real close between him and Ebron for me. It was kind of a flip-flop on that one. But I just – the emergence of Mike Williams is what kept him out of the top five for me.
And
I got Eric Ebron.
All right, so, yeah, we're getting to
– And you were, like, back and forth on everything.
So we're pretty similar. Exactly. We're pretty similar. I mean, we've seen what these guys do. It's going to be tough for the bottom tier once we start getting a little bit lower. Like,
it's going to get interesting once we get –
guys exactly to move on
for
up.
Sure I think this is where we're gonna start like what okay so number seven and maybe not for number seven I think after seven okay so number seven I've got Evan Engram. I think everyone's probably he might be everyone's number seven. No
I have him at number
okay.
seven. I
yeah he just
it would be a little higher. I just don't know with that offense. I mean, they're going to have to lean on him a little bit more now that Beckham is gone. I know they just got Golden Tate, but
he's got to learn.
I mean, yeah, he actually had a very good rookie season. He was one of very few rookie tight ends to go over like 700 yards his rookie season. So
yeah, and granted, well, you know, play a little bit devil's ad. You know, they didn't really have any receivers then, right? I mean, everyone kind of went exactly. down that season. But with the learning Golden Tate, with not a clear number three, Sterling Shepard's pretty much the number one option there. I think Evan Engram has to be the number three, if not the number two option. So, I mean, I think there's a very easy path for him to end up a top three tight end. Just feels kind of hard to place Eli Manning-led offense, putting a tight end in top three. And I think that's why you see these prolific offenses. We have Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz, Hunter Henry, or George Kittle. Those seems to be the mainstays. Even Austin Hooper. I mean, those are just amazing offenses. That's why you see those guys so high. Where do you have I don't say who you have. Who's your number seven? Mike?
My number seven is Vance McDonald.
Vance McDonald, love it.
I feel like Pittsburgh doesn't have a lot of weapons over there. So you got Juju Smith, and then after that it's Dante Moncrief. Right now. And I mean, I know there's Washington in there. There's quite a few people trying to vie for that next spot. But I think Vance McDonald, just a beast. And I feel like he's with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell both gone. I feel like he's actually going to get his opportunity finally.
I like it. I have Vance McDonald just next, actually. So we're starting to get to, I guess it's not getting that head scratchy. I think for the most part, the consensus is the consensus. Who do you have for your number eight?
I have Trey Burton.
Trey Burton, yeah.
I feel like he's going to have another decent season, but I feel like he's going to have a decent season this year. I feel like the Chicago offense is not – they're not going to be like anything spectacular, right? But I feel like they're going to be doing enough to get it done, and that defense is going to keep them in games. I think Chicago might actually be a pretty decent threat this year.
And who do you have for number eight?
I have Jared Cook at number eight.
Okay, Jared Cook. You want to explain your run?
He almost had 896 yards last season with Derek Carr, who, mind you, threw for over 4,000 yards. I don't know if anybody knew that out there.
Right.
Crazy. But 68 catches, 896 yards from Derek Carr. Now he has Drew Brees throwing to him. I mean, he is going to be the number three option because, obviously, Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas eat up over 100 targets each, at least. I think they both had at least 150 targets last season. And then the next was, like, 60. So Jared Cook, I think he's going to love him some Jared Cook because he loved when he had Jimmy Graham. So I think he really likes throwing to a tight end.
Yeah. That's why I'm a little lower on Jared Cook just because – I don't know. I haven't seen Drew Brees feature a tight end since Jimmy Graham.
Exactly. That's my reasoning why I think he's going to finish.
And you know? I don't know if Jared Cook is Jimmy Graham.
No.
So right. For me, my eight is Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham, he was number six in targets last season. And second year in this offense, Rodgers should be better. He should throw more than 20. What did he throw, 26 touchdowns last year or something like that? He should throw more than that. I think a few more at least. I think he's going to be a huge benefactor. Jimmy Graham, it was not a memorable tight end last season. But again, yeah, he was still six in targets. I mean, that's just amazing for you. And an offense that's not going to let up, they're going to be paying all of these teams back in dividends, you know, for all the points they did leave on the board last season. They're just going to run it up. And I think Jimmy Graham could easily have a top five season. Might be a little low on him, even though I understand he hasn't had one in quite some time. We got your number eight. Well, let's go on to number nine. I'll start. I believe I said Vance McDonald was my number nine. Who's your number nine, Dirty Jobs?
OJ Howard is my number nine. And it's just, he would be higher too. I mean, I liked your rationale on the Buccaneers. I couldn't remember the team for a second yeah. there. They're like, that's where I live now. That's crazy.
It's your home, dude.
Yep. That's my home team, I guess. Yep. But OJ Howard, I just don't think, I mean, name a featured tight end in a Bruce Arians led offense.
Right.
Exactly. You can't. Right. So, that's where I'm like, I just don't know about the tight end position anymore because he's like, let's gun it. Let's run it. Let's just pound it down their throats and put up some scores. So that's why he's so low for me.
That's argument enough for make me want to at least move him down a spot. And I think, yeah, I have him top five right now off of just sheer. You look at him. He's a magnificent beast, but talented. That's a great point. You haven't seen Andy Reid. Use feature a tight end that much, so that's a great point.
Yeah,
who's your number nine? Bruce Arians. Sorry, yeah.
I have Jimmy Graham at number nine,
so we're not far off. There we go.
I may move him up, I don't know, just for the simple fact, like you said, one, his value. I mean, he's going, I think, in like the 12th round,
so pretty insane.
If he finishes now, like we talked about, I mean, like you look at Kelce, Kittle, Ertz, and then it's everyone else. You know, maybe even Austin Hooper this year we could throw in that argument. But, like, the amount of the difference is ridiculous from the number one tight end to, like, even, like, the number seven or eight. So I think Jimmy Graham, based on his value, may be one of those guys that I'm going to probably try to target.
I forgot he even played football. Just throwing that. I was like, oh, yeah, Jimmy Graham. He definitely did not make the
football. He's just been so quiet since he left New Orleans. I mean, Seattle, it just – I feel like it went completely downhill after he went to Seattle.
And I got Trey Burton at 10. You don't have Jimmy Graham anywhere on your top 12, I'm guessing, Mike. Who's your top? Who's your 10?
My 10 is Dallas Goedert.
And
that's why Zach Ertz is so low for me, because I feel like we're going to see a lot of two tight end sets coming out of Philadelphia.
That is very bold.
Okay. I know. I've got two Philadelphia tight ends on my list.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
Number 10, we're on 10. I have David Njoku on 10 right now. I have him getting a lot of yards, not so many touchdowns. I mean, that offense looks good on paper right now. Their offensive coordinator loves the tight end. Was it Munchkanner?
Yep.
Munch, whatever.
Tom Munchkin.
He likes to, you know, emphasize the tight end. So I think at 10, where he's, you know, I drafted him in draft night out. I think he was my, oh God, like third to last pick or something like that. So, but a lot of these other guys went ahead of him. So that's why I have him at 10 right now.
I don't mind it. I probably am too low on him, but I just look at all the mouths to feed there.
Exactly.
And I'm very low on David Njoku this year. I'm not even going to get to rankings because it's a top 12 show. But, I don't mind it, though. I can see a path there. And, again, this is where we get to the muddy ground where we can argue for any of these guys to have a path. And I'm going to go ahead to number 11. Greg Olsen's going to be my number 11. I just think that he's still there. Cam still likes him. Cam's not 100%, I don't think. So I think he's going to feature Greg Olsen quite a bit. Obviously, he's going to – Curtis Samuel.
Now his ankle broke.
What's that?
You said his name twice, and now his ankle broke.
Oh, man, Jesus.
one more time, and then he's done.
Well,
he's
apparently he already has lined up in the for I think week 9, which is their bye week. He's already has a show. He's going to be anchoring. I think one of the CBS shows or something like that. He's going to be broadcasting. So this is his next job
for the rest of the
season.
Lining it up.
Yeah. So he's already taken the bye week, and he's already eyeing that job. So he's. He's doing one job. He has his eyes on another one. But I do think that Greg Olsen, we haven't seen him healthy in quite some time. If he turns up healthy, I think this is going to be his last year, obviously. He wants to end it on a good note. I think Cam's going to need him quite a bit, especially if he's not 100% healthy. Again, I think he's going to be using CMC, Greg Olsen, and the two wide receivers there, Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore, quite a bit. Short areas. So, yeah, Greg Olsen, I think he's going to still finish top 12 for you. We'll have him just at 11. What do you have, Mike?
At 11 is where I have Evan Engram. That's okay. Where I finally have Evan Engram. And that's I have him so low is because I have, like, I like Saquon Barkley, but that's the only thing that is even kind of a bright spot coming out of New York for me this year.
Very low on Evan Engram, but I can see it. I mean, it's not the sexiest offense. You're missing one of the best pieces.
That changes. Yeah.
Right. I could see that. So you've got
OJ Howard.
OJ Howard.
I got OJ Howard at 11.
It's fitting. I like where you guys have these guys because you guys, I think, don't have hype baked in too much. You have more.
I love Bruce Arians.
Yeah, you're looking at scheme, and I like that. That the fact that you're. You're thinking about schemes and not so much the opportunity or he's a beast of a player or everything. I like where you guys' heads are. And I think that's where you get to, right? When you get to 11 and 12, you're just like, well, you have to dive in a little bit deeper and kind of see what's what. I do like both of your picks, even though they're pretty unconventional. I think the listeners are going to like them as well. Number 12, I've got Jared Cook. So he's just made my top 12. You know, just based off of year after year, he seems to be a top 12 guy. I don't love it. It's not the sexiest, but he's quarterbacks seem to like him. I mean, there's no reason why I shouldn't have him at least at top 12. I was going to place Eric Ebron there, but man, did the Colts add so many pieces? They're like the Patriots, I feel like, of weapons, of wide receivers. But, you know, the Patriots were running back. You usually don't know what running back to start. The Colts are like that at wide receiver now. I feel like you don't know who to start aside from T.Y. Hilton.
Start them all.
Yeah.
Right.
You got to catch them all. Got to start them all in Pokemon or something.
I have Andrew Luck as my number one quarterback this year.
He is mine as well, actually. So, yeah. We're on. Yeah.
But that's another.
That's another show. Who do you guys? Who's your number 12, Mike?
David Njoku is my number 12. He made my top 12. I feel like he. Like Andrew's saying, you know, he's out there on a good team. should get some red zone opportunity. I don't expect anything huge, fantastic, because there is so many different things that can happen out of that Cleveland offense, including failure. I mean, these guys might not
100%.
There's a lot of things that can happen right there. I mean, Baker Mayfield had a pretty solid first season, but
sophomore slump is real. It's real. Yeah,
it's a very real thing. So, I mean, we could see some stuff, but I like David Njoku's talent, and I like that team, so he made my top 12.
There we go. Anthony, who's your final player of your title?
Kyle Rudolph.
Kyle Rudolph. Me like it. I like it.
He was there.
If he's healthy,
yeah.
I mean, I have him just going over a little 600 yards or so. He kind of ranges between, like, I don't know, maybe like mid four, upper 40s, you know, like maybe to 60 catches. So I kind of got him like right in the middle. But if he's healthy, I don't see why he couldn't even finish higher than top 12.
Yeah.
So that's why I have him at the cusp of like 12 right now. And where he's going, in the middle of the 11th round.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's definitely a draft day value at this point. A lot of people aren't looking for him, even though he finished. You guys remember where he finished last year? I mean, it didn't feel like it at all. Part of it was the last two games of the season.
Like five, didn't he?
I would say like eight.
It didn't feel like it, though, right? He actually finished top seven. But it didn't feel like it because most of the season, I mean, he only had four touchdowns on a season, and two of them came in week 16, where he had nine receptions, 122 yards, two touchdowns. He put a 35-pointer for you. He just crushed your championship.
And if he didn't have that game.
Yeah. if you had the nuts to start him after he gave you 5 points and 2 points to
free.
Yeah, no one probably. If you were stuck, you had to start him, and you were just like, oh, man, I'm screwed. And you won your championship because of him, more than likely. Adam Thielen and Diggs were not so sexy those games. But Kyle Rudolph just benefited so much. He was a beast. So, I do like it. And those are your top 12 tight ends for you. Go ahead, tweet about it. Get angry. Throw stuff at your TV screen or your computer screen or I don't know.
Notice how none of us had a rookie tight end in the top 12.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I don't see it happening this
People
year.
Do, That's though. Rare. People do. I know I've seen some rankings with rookie tight ends there. I don't like it.
People love Hockenson.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually have Hockenson at 13 as of right now. Just, I'm hoping they don't make the same mistake with Ebron that they do with him, you know, that they would learn from
They have a different coordinator there. Jim Pop Cooter's not there anymore, who didn't seem to utilize the tight end too much. So, we'll see if they do go ahead and – it seems like it's a tight end league now, right? It seems like a lot of more teams are utilizing tight ends, and they're seeming to have more fantasy value. I think the rest of the league continues to go this way, and it'll be interesting to see if Dallas Goedert does become a top 12 tight end, and most teams look at two tight end sets. And, you know, we haven't seen it since the days of the Pats or whatever, but hey, it's a strange time in the fantasy world. That's why we're covering these tight ends for you, these top 12. That's why you tune in to Sleeper Wire. And again, you're going to go ahead and listen to my brother, Anthony. You're going to go ahead and listen to them at the Fantasy Fam. Go ahead and listen to them right after the show. And again, we've got amazing shows for you all off season. Go out there, listen to the Breaking from the Grind. My brothers also as well, Fantasy Champs, Dynasty Wire. And guess what, guys? The Pro-Am is around the corner. It's actually already here. We're taking entries. Go ahead. Go to robsgofundme.com. You're going to go to GoFundMe, Rob JR. Go donate some money. Or go to our Patreon as well, SleeperWire/Patreon. If you pay $50, you're going to get into one of the Pro-Ams. You pay $75, you get into a listener leak and the Pro-Am. You get to play with pros like Jake Seeley, Matt Harmon, Justin Boone. You get to play with Marcus Grant. Oh, man, you name it. You got Sam Lane from the Scott Fish champion last year. He's going to be out in there trying to defend, not his crown because he didn't win, but there were several champions last year. Are you going to be one of them? We're hoping that you come to the Sleeper Wire Pro-Am. Go ahead and go to the Patreon page. Donate some money. One-time donation, $30, is going to get you into the listener league. And again, you pay $75, you get into both leagues, and you get a chance to win a beautiful piece of memorabilia from Prestige Sports Memorabilia. It's awesome. We just gave some jerseys away at draft night out. Should have been there to that too. But hey, you guys won't miss the fun. Make sure you're at the Pro-Am. And Anthony, go ahead and plug your stuff. Let the good listeners know where to find you, where to love you.
Yeah, again, Anthony from the Fantasy Fam. We're on Twitter. Follow us at the Fantasy Fam. We're on most platforms that you can find podcasts, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. So be sure to give us a follow.
Yeah, they're giving away very a beautiful. Yeah, man, we're amazing. Glad to have you guys. You guys are giving away a beautiful Ingram jersey. It's pretty nice. I want to win that thing myself. It's pretty nice.
So if you are listening to this, actually, I'll drop the secret hashtag in this episode as well. If you don't mind,
no, you do so. Yeah, you do that.
Awesome. So it's actually going to be Heisman 09 because that is the year that Mark Ingram, won the Heisman. So Heisman 09, send that to us in a DM. Don't post it because then everybody else can find it. So send it to a DM and also give us 5 stars on iTunes.
There you go. It's a great show. Go listen to them right now after the show. All right, guys, we're going to catch you at next show. Catch you later, guys.